Tonight, on Life on the Rock, we have Dr. William Kimeg, part one. We'll go inside the Ferrari and much more.
Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Bill Kimeg, Deputy Director of the Catechetical Institute at Franciscan University. This is a part one of a two-part series, and it's an episode you will not want to miss.
We're now going to an inside-outside the Friary video.
We are inside the Friary today, and it is a very special, wonderful day. Today, of course, being the birthday of our Blessed Virgin Mary, our mother, and also Father Miguel celebrating 25 years anniversary of religious profession. And so Father, we're so excited. You know, this is a great day. We're so happy for you, for what you bring to the community, for your family, you know, for the blessing you've been, of course, to all of us, you know, and, you know, looking back on your time in the community, it's been great, you know. You've been excellent in many things. And, you know, tell us a little bit about, like, your vocation. You know, how did it all begin and where you're at now?
Yeah, thank you, Father, for your support, your encouragement. One thing I would say, my parents definitely is instrumental. Mm-hmm. They went on a pilgrimage and they wanted me to be their prayer warrior. And they were gone for almost a month, 3 weeks or a bit more. And in the process of that, long story short, I decided to go to Mass every single day for them. And it was in that process when I met a sister in San Francisco. I was going to Mass during lunchtime in the Church of St. Francis of Assisi in the city of San Francisco. And she was the first one who asked me, "Have you ever thought of becoming a priest?" And never in my life have I ever thought that. I've always wanted to get married and have lots of kids. But the Lord had other plan, and as I was coming back from work, I started thinking, what does that mean, Lord, you know? And anyway, and then one thing leads to another, different people start asking similar questions, particularly priests, religious. But and then that was around the time of World Youth Day in Denver. And I said to myself, nobody noticed, but I said to the Lord, "Lord, if this is coming from you, have somebody ask me that same question again." Yeah. So I got to Denver. The first day I got there, we went to this one church that the CFRs was running. Went to confession. At the end of my confession, the priest said, "Have you ever thought about becoming a priest?" Like, okay, God does not waste any time, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, then I think when I joined, I was working in a professional company over 5 years already.
Yeah.
I remember saying to myself, "Gosh, 5 years, I don't know. I don't know if I'm gonna make it that far in religious life." And now it's 25 years, I can only say the Lord helped me with persevering. Was it always smooth? No, there are some struggles. It's realistic. There's some struggles, some challenges. But the Lord helped me through it. The brothers, you helped me with your prayers. And I'm just grateful for God's grace and all of everyone's supports and prayers.
Well, Bill, welcome to Life on the Rock.
Thank you, brother.
And you're the co-founder, deputy director of the Franciscan University Catechetical Institute.
Yes.
And you're doing amazing work out there trying to really, I think, restore, revitalize catechesis in the church. And so I think it's a program we should all tune into, whether we're at a parish or a religious life, wherever we are as a priest, as a parent. But I wanted to ask you just a little bit, what is the Catechetical Institute?
That's a great question, brother, mostly because when we face the field and we face, in a sense, our name, the Catechetical Institute, CI as we like to abbreviate it, it's often misunderstood as the first impression people get of sort of like, what is that? Of course, they often trip over the word catechetics or catechesis. Even my earliest credit card from the university spelled catechetics wrong on the credit card. Yeah. But either way, what is catechesis? If I could clarify what we like to call it, Franciscan, the catawords, you know, catechetics, catechumen, mm-hmm. catechism, catechumenate, right? All these catawords. It comes from the Greek word meaning to echo down, a Greek compound word meaning to echo down, or to give without adding or subtracting, which is, of course, what we want to do in the faith, right? Mm-hmm. To add nothing that shouldn't be there, to leave nothing out that should be there. So good catechetics isn't the same as catechesis. Catechesis is sharing the faith with another soul, whether that's a parent or a priest or whatever. Catechetics is the study of how to do that well. Mm. So catechesis is giving it. Catechetics is studying how, what is the craft, what is the skill to give it well.
That's a good distinction.
Yeah, so we're a catechetical institute. So the only thing we do, we don't go and teach people in parishes directly in terms of like someone in the pew, you know, whatever. We form those who form others. Mm. That is our work. That's our tagline, forming those who form others. So we strictly and solely do ministry formation. But we define ministry as broadly as the church does. So that is, as you kind of prefaced it, that is from the priest to the parent to all the paycheck and volunteer ministries in between, right. All of that sort of stuff, sometimes with very low paychecks or none, uh-huh. right? All that. And in any context, if you will, that someone gives the faith to another soul, that's what we create things for to help them be good at it. So we have like tons of workshops. I mean workshop, we have an online system, which we'll probably dig out a bit. But we do tons of workshops and stuff like that for parents. Dozens and dozens. Mm-hmm. And for clerics, we have over 50 workshops for just deacons and things like that. So whatever it is, and all the kind of different ministry area, youth ministry, young adult ministry, campus ministry, DREs or parish catechetical leaders, that kind of person, RCIA or OCIA these days, and that sort of thing, all the different things that you would need for schools and apostolates and stuff like that. And just people that are trying to do well in the home and home settings. And so we work very hard to see the gift of giving the faith means working with anyone and everyone who's baptized and called to give it in whatever points of encounter they have for children, teens, or adults.
Okay.
So it's a very diverse thing. But I would also clarify to say it is kind of whatever someone needs. Because some people need a degree, right? Yeah. They need a credential. They mm-hmm. need a master's or a bachelor's, like our catechetics program, which was founded in 1994 by Barbara Morgan at the request of Father Michael Scanlon, the person that kind of, the president that renovated our university's mission in a sense. And he discerned that we needed within theology a catechetics program to do the teaching of that craft.
Right.
That understanding, which is theology's purpose, and giving are different things,
right?
Right. And just because you understand, theology is faith-seeking understanding, right? Just because you understand doesn't mean you know how to utter it, how to give it well.
Right.
And what are the norms for working with a human being, right? Anthropology, not just sort of like curriculum and skills and understanding of doctrine. It's how does the human tick? It's all that world of coming alongside a soul, not just a mind, mm-hmm. not just someone who sort of has curiosity, but how to create that curiosity. So it's evangelization too. It's all those things. And our catechetics program does degrees for those things. But most folks don't need degrees necessarily in bachelor's or master's. We're also working on doctoral stuff soon. They also need things that just basic field credentialing or just the parent that wants to do better at parenting. I'm a dad of 6 kids. My wife has homeschooled all my kids up through all, and it's just a wonderful thing, but it's, boy, is it hard. Mm-hmm. Like super hard.
Yeah.
You know, homeschooling is nothing, you know, nothing easy. And so for folks like that, those chief catechists in the home, they need help. And so we do things for all that world of anyone that's called to give the faith at any level of credentialing, or nobody credentials parents, right? Any level of that sort of thing. So it's quite a diverse work, keeps us very busy.
Okay, and what is the relation between evangelization and catechesis and all?
Yeah, that's a great question. So when we do Catechetical Institute, it's not like we don't do evangelization, right? It is the whole spectrum from the very first inkling of an encounter, the first little door open the Holy Spirit might give us in some casual or formal setting, to something that is all the way the life ongoing formation of someone to continue to be pastoral accompaniment, give them pastoral accompaniment and walk with them, to continue to be with them. So essentially, it's essentially saying to you, if I was to view you as the object of our work, what do you need
Mm-hmm.
To be able to do well at any point you encounter a soul of any age, in any context, to take them from that place of just opening up that curiosity all the way to something that is an ongoing commitment to grow in the Lord, full eyes open, full self-awareness. That is the arc, if you will, of evangelization, pre-evangelization, catechesis, a lifelong formation. So we address all those things. But it is, you know, as you said, it's not like a evangelization is this and catechetics is only this, as if they're compartments.
Mm-hmm.
They're a continuity of care, which is what Pope Francis's vision is in stressing that all of this work needs the skill set of pastoral accompaniment.
Yeah.
So we put a tremendous amount of effort in everything we create. All of our workshops have a character of accompaniment to them. They're not just saying, sit someone down and teach at them stuff. No, what is it to look like becoming dialogical, becoming a true exploration of the human being in front of you? And how do you do that well?
Mm-hmm.
Which means skills that you don't normally think of when you think of, well, let's train for evangelization. It means how to listen well, how to teach people to listen with empathy in a ministry setting. Like, that's one of our workshops. How to ask good questions, just one-to-one, not to a group, not to a class. How to not quench the Holy Spirit in a moment, but keep things unflowing. What you do next in a conversation that's wise. The simple one-to-one skills. So it's the pastoral accompaniment skill set of mentoring, of giving gentle spiritual guidance in just a normal lay context, of giving gentle counsel, not professional counseling, but the kind of thing that we're all called to, the gift of counsel that we get with our confirmation, you know, stoked from our baptism. And so it's all those things that is the whole world of helping the human being be truly good at reaching out in the Holy Spirit, another human being, all the things that that involves.
Wow. Well, Bill, we have to go to a break, but whenever mm-hmm. we come back, let's get more into the Catechetical Institute.
Sounds wonderful.
Well, Bill, in the earlier segment, I thought you said something interesting, kind of a word. You kind of threw it out there, but it's pre-evangelization, because a lot of times we hear that we live in like a post-Christian society. And so mm-hmm. a lot of times we know Christianity, maybe in a vague sense or maybe in some kind of cultural setting, but do we really know it, maybe with our minds and hearts and bodies and souls? So I wanted to ask you, how do you engage with other groups that maybe come to this, that are wanting to know?
Yeah, essentially we start with a place of listening, because we're engaged all over the world. It's an international ministry. And that engagement means that the first step we have to do is figure out what people actually need without mm-hmm. assuming. You don't come with a canned idea mm-hmm. or a certain sort of, you know, hubris of assuming that you know what someone needs best to grow or how they actually best encounter people. You know, we work very heavily in Eastern Europe. We work very heavily in Africa. And those places, in terms of the norms that people assume that would be pre-evangelization, like what creates openness and curiosity? More importantly, what creates urgency?
Mm.
Real desire, real yearning
yeah.
for something more, whatever the more would be, not defined yet, that we have the more defined, right? What creates that? What kind of encounters foster that? What are the entry points and opportunities? And how do we help people navigate them well when they find them, or not run away from them perhaps, or stiff arm them because they're just feeling like I'm out of my depth here.
Mm-hmm.
How do we help people overcome that? So a lot of it is human coaching, mm. right? Which is where the mentoring pastoral accompaniment comes in. It's coming alongside people and simply helping to build their confidence, because there is a kind of a tone there that our wonderful resource creation, you know, you do a lot of that, we do a lot of that. There's lots of companies that produce great stuff, but sometimes it can come across to the human being as a message of, well, you know, let's put the distant expert in front of somebody through a DVD or whatever instead, and you sit down and just kind of like stay in the back and kind of maybe like put donuts out, right? And it's basically the idea of benching the local person
mm-hmm.
in favor of some sort of like better plan A. And our message is the human person is the indispensable encounter.
Mm.
Some resource, they're great, they have their place. We produce stuff like that at Franciscan University, and so do you. But they have their place that isn't to usurp the place of the human being in that place, which would mean when we have a tagline, forming those who form others, it means our focus is essentially personalist, to, you know, pluck a John Paul statement, we never forget that however much resourcing may be around, the key is the ability of one human being to encounter another, to care, to see urgencies, to stay in with their life long enough to make a difference in their life, sacrificial presence. Those things aren't skippable in the gospel spread.
All right.
Right? But coaching people to that, helping people to see their opportunities, helping people to not be afraid of those encounters, and to say, well, I'll just pop in a DVD and hope the DVD teaches them better because that guy in a distance certainly teaches much more smooth than I do. No, the human being in the circumstance, subsidiarity, is the plan A. And our job is to create things to help those people be what they should be and to be better at what they are given opportunities by the Holy Spirit to do. So we typically encounter the practical way if we mm-hmm. do this is, I would say 90% of our outreach is through partnerships with dioceses. So we currently have 121 partner dioceses. It grows by about one new one a month, so a very fast pace of growth. And those partner dioceses come to us for the kind of needs that every diocese needs to field, right? They need to form good youth ministers that know what they're doing in training their core groups. They need to form good RCA directors and OCA directors that need to pull around a team and help that team be good at what they do. They need to form good principals and good school teachers that know what they're doing. They need to form the families and all those sort of circumstances that touch those places and the Sunday school type catechists. They need to form good DREs that lead and good priests and deacons that lead them. They need to do these things well. And so those are the basic functions that any diocese has. Some of them, of course, go to a degree arc and go to our university for things at distance, but most need the basic credentialing. They're not going to end up with a degree in this area, but everybody needs to be helped where they're at in their vocation and community. And we create things to go to them by being online. That's what FranciscanAtHome.com is. It's a learning management system, not just a website, that is designed to provide dioceses with a flexible means to encounter. Because each bishop has his own vision, each local circumstance, a principal with his or her building, what do I want to do, what's my vision, what are my urgencies, what are my struggles? It's encountering each of those leaders at whatever level, the bishop's vision, the diocese's parishes and schools, the circumstances if they're clustered within that, families of parishes, whatever the world of that diocese is, it's our job to come along them, listen to them well, help figure out how to access and provide things for their people, hopefully in an ongoing way. Mm. It's not a program, it's a long-term, many years encounter process of working with the diocese, and just to help them wherever they need help. So we partner with dioceses, whole dioceses typically, but we also work with dozens of apostolates around the country, religious orders around the world, places like that, and individuals. We have a guild called the International Guild for Catechists and Leaders, which is the pathway for just individuals that come to us that aren't part of a larger entity or want to be grown more personally through Franciscan University's work in catechetics and can come to us as individuals. So there's many hundreds of people in the guild as well, and that's growing really rapidly. So we're just trying to meet the needs wherever we find it. And it's such an incredible privilege because wherever you go, you know, there's so much complaints about the church.
Yeah.
Wherever you go, wherever we go, you know, I've been to over 70 dioceses personally myself and stuff like this, places like here. Wherever I get to meet people, I get to see the root strength of the church. Mm. So many, many have gone under my eyes and my time privileged to serve the church in this way, of so many good souls that aren't the heavy hitters with all the sort of the speaker circuit credentials. They are people that want to do well in their vocations and their communities. They want to love generously. It is such a privilege to help people like that. And we design stuff that gets to them. So we have a conference, we have a magazine, and some people benefit from that. Those are excellent things, our Bosco conference, our Catechetical Review magazine. Those touch hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of souls. But the learning management system, FranciscanAtHome.com, that reaches tens of thousands, which is our growth pace right now. We now have over 40,000 people in our system.
Wow.
And it's growing by sometimes as many as 1,000 people every month.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's a very high growth rate. And that kind of thing means we need to keep it very much focused on the one and not forget that. So we build things to keep that incarnational one-to-one in view. But the Lord has blessed us with a responsibility for a growing scale. So we try to balance that.
And Bill, where can we find more information on the Franciscan University Catechetical Institute?
Yeah, you can go to FranciscanAtHome.com and you'll see the basic things, access points for dioceses or individuals or institutions like parishes and schools. That's the basic answer there. I also wanted to mention that we are a ministry of the Franciscan Order, mm-hmm. as are you. right? So we, Franciscan University is owned by the Third Order Regular Friars of St. Francis. And we would not be true to our name. We would not dare use St. Francis's name if our focus wasn't on affordability. Mm. So one of the things that I wanted to make clear is that how people access this, well, they access it on whatever terms the Lord has provided for them to get the best. So we have the best things in catechetics that we could possibly create. And our mission is to create the best for the least.
Okay.
We have a sign up in our workshop production room that says that every workshop is to be good news for the poor.
Okay.
And affordability, radical affordability, we are determined that no one is to be prevented from accessing this on any financial terms. So we work with like the Diocese of Cape Palmas, Liberia, Africa for free because it's totally missionary, right? We work with the entire LA school system that they can afford to be honest with their hundreds, actually thousands of teachers and hundreds of schools in a very different way, right? We work with a little small school in Belize. And we work with the Diocese of Fairbanks, Alaska, where 30 of their 36 parishes, you have to go fly in or boat in, and you can't even road access
yeah.
them. Right? Wherever it is, we want to make sure we work with a number of partner dioceses that are bankrupt.
Okay.
Our priority is to be Franciscan about this, to give the best to the least.
Well, Bill, thank you for being on Life on the Rock and
Thanks,
sharing
brother, for the privilege of it.
And this is also a part one of a two-part series. So, Bill, God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Father Mark, Bill is quite the expert. He's got quite a bit to say. Very informative. I thought a lot of the distinctions he made were very, I think, important to me. That there's a difference between just catechesis and catechetics. Mm-hmm. But one, what they focus on is, you know, how to form those who are going to be forming others. It's kind of a hidden ministry if you think about it. Just something we may right. not think about or it may even take for granted.
Right. I was struck by, yeah, usually you think of like maybe catechetics as dry, but are you kind of just imparting this information? But the actual catechesis, the one-on-one, is very dynamic, very flexible. You know, the catechizers reading the situation, looking at the circumstances. I thought too, you talked about the sacrificial presence, but I guess what struck me is just having that the experience of love. Like this guy cares enough about you, he loves you to share the faith. And I was thinking of my own experience, born and raised Catholic, you know, in CCD and stuff, but I met some friends, the young adult friends after I was out of college. One went to Steubenville and he shared the faith with me, and I still remember our conversations. To me, it's an incredible thing how I would remember a number of conversations I had with this guy that so impacted me.
And I don't think we should ever just look at maybe catechesis as like a factory. We're just kind of producing a product.
Right,
you know?
Right.
But really, we're forming human beings to love Jesus Christ ultimately and lead them to heaven.
Right.
You know, that's the mission of what it's about, drawing us into a deeper encounter with Christ, growing in our faith, sharing it with others, you know, and it's not something that we separate from evangelization either.
And maybe for the catechizer to, you know, pray to the Holy Spirit, ask him to guide you, to be sensitive, to believe that, you know, the Holy Spirit sends us out on mission. He's going to give us the gifts to teach the faith, to share it with others, to be open to those movements of the Holy Spirit. You know, and maybe to try to read the person and see, you know, maybe where is he at or what questions does he have, you know, that be sure you're answering those.
Yeah. Well, Father, can you lead us?
Sure. We'll send you to that vineyard with a blessing. May our Heavenly Father shine his face upon you, give you his peace, and pour his Spirit into your heart to empower you for mission, to lead and guide you, to help others to share the faith. May God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next week on Life on the Rock.
Eyes wide, prime, ready for the highest climb. God starts writing in stride to pin horizon lines. Watching for the rise and shine, brighter by design. Light the world on fire with the gleam in his eye. I got a long list of living that I'm dreaming to try. I'll put my steps in any order, stepping evenly by. I took a bite out of the sun to get my piece of the pie. I tried to do it on my own, my road recently dried. I hold a shooting star right
right in the palm of my hand. I'm giving pieces to the masses for the people's advance. Laughing in the face of death and evil's command. I need to know what but my maker, not the feet of a man.
True.
We're scared to death.
Yeah.
We're scared to move.
Huh.
Comfort got you shook, froze, fearing what you lose. Got to illuminate a rhythm to jumpstart their hearts. Lighten your soul, just gotta do your part.
Yeah, brilliant rays for the world to see. Hands and feet of his divine mercy. Shine your light where the darkness be. And if it's time for invasion, time for invasion.
Light coming in now, the night running. Got plans to advance my stance to fight something. One chance at a dangerous dance that don't move. Both hands hold me true, so where you? Light living in now, the night is a gift. Thanks to the power that breaks down the prison. One chance at a dangerous dance to break through. You gotta go where the light it takes you. Dilated, you were scared at every angle for fear they might make a blind date certified. Solos de la Rocha for the person I wanna strive to become by a certain time. The bright circling hovering lights above you, around you and in you are the proof that he loves you. Life's not a blindfold race that you run by. Time to open up and catch the rays of the sunshine. I leave the light on for the ships to harbor sailing in. Weather for the champions of many still to fail to win. Soul glow city with the love that burns bright. Hold tight, you just look for the light. Look for the light.
Yeah. Brilliant rays for the world to see. Hands and feet of his divine mercy. Shine your light when the darkness be. And it is time for invasion, time for invasion.
We're coming in now, the night running. Got plans to advance my stance to fight something. One chance at a dangerous dance that don't move. Both hands holding the truth, so where you? Light living in now, the night is a gift.